AEW Full Gear is coming up on Saturday night, one of only four pay-per-views AEW does all year, so it kind of feels like a big deal. Pretty stacked card coming up this weekend. Tonight was the final Dynamite. This was their last chance to close the deal, get people hyped up before the pay-per-view. Did it work? I thought they did a pretty good job. A lot of video packages on the show tonight for all the key matches. Very suspect main event. I would not have had that as my main event tonight. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you for joining me tonight. This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, November 4, 2020. Final show before Full Gear. As I mentioned, I will be live with you then as well as soon as Full Gear goes off the air. Coming up on Saturday night. Join me right back here on YouTube. We'll cover all the matches from top to bottom on the pay-per-view. Chris Jericho was out for commentary. He did guest commentary throughout the entire show. And while I do tend to enjoy Jericho when he's on commentary, tonight he felt a little more overbearing than usual. And I love how at the very end of the night, he had to get the last word in. He just had to be the last person to get the last word in on the show at the very end. But he was out for the opener. It was MJF, his opponent, on Saturday at Full Gear. By the way, later on in the stream, I'll be doing Full Gear predictions. There are some people wondering if I was going to do a separate video or a separate stream. Tonight is the night. When we're done here talking about Dynamite, I will run down the card, give my predictions, and then we'll get your feedback, your calls, all that stuff is coming up a little bit later on. MJF and Wardlow taking on Ortiz and Sammy Guevara. Ortiz and Sammy Guevara do not like MJF. They've made that very clear in recent weeks that they are not a fan of Mr. Friedman. So they were taking on MJF and Wardlow. Highlight here, Wardlow continues to impress. Every time I see him on TV, you know, when he had the match a few weeks ago in the tournament in the Eliminator, the match he had with Hangman Page, the match he had with Jungle Boy, Wardlow continues to impress every time I see him in the ring. And I keep saying he's going to be a big breakout babyface when the split eventually happens with him and MJF. I think he's going to be a big babyface. But anyway, he hit the F10 on Ortiz, made a cover. Sammy Guevara broke it up with a splash. Sammy hit a springboard axe handle out to the floor onto MJF. Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy is facing Sammy Guevara in a cinematic match. Supposedly it is being taped from the Hardy compound if it hasn't already been taped. That is the kind of match I've been waiting for. We haven't seen anything involving the Hardy home since Matt debuted. I was kind of hoping they would do it at Double or Nothing. We got the Stadium Stampede instead. Circumstances were such with the pandemic. They wanted to do a special match from the football stadium. That turned out to be a home run. But now we get our Hardy compound match, but that's on Saturday. There was somebody in a Serpentico mask at ringside. It was not Serpentico. It was, in fact, Matt Hardy, who chucked a chair at Sammy Guevara. In the middle of Sammy's match, Matt Hardy threw a chair at him and pretty much left at that point, went back to the backstage area. His job was done. He had taken out Sammy. Sammy didn't do nothing wrong. I mean, Sammy flipped him off. But so what? It's not like he put his hands on him. But I guess Matt didn't like that very much. Anyway, that took out Sammy. In the ring, MJF put the Salt of the Earth armbar on Ortiz, got the tap out. Now, Jericho's over by the announce desk doing commentary. Jericho goes ahead, or MJF rather, as he's leaving, he makes a beeline for the announce desk, and he tackles Jericho. So this was the exact same spot that they did before the Mimosa Mayhem match on Dynamite, I think the week before, with Orange Cassidy, who came out of nowhere, vaulted over the announce desk and attacked Jericho. Same exact spot. They just copied the same spot here with these two guys. And Jericho came up with a grin on his face. So that was the opening segment. What's going to happen? Is MJF going to join the Inner Circle? I got some thoughts on that. We'll talk about that here in a second. Tony Schiavone interviewed Kenny Omega. This was pre-recorded from what was supposed to be Kenny's home. And he thanked Kenny for allowing him into his home. He had his dog there. And then Kenny pointed out that this is not my home. This is my temporary residence. It's not even my dog. And so the dog went off. And he was talking about how, you know, AEW likes to talk about being a very sports-based product. Which, if you think about it, when AEW was conceived of and they were trying to talk about what separates them from WWE, well, it's going to be more sports-based. That's where the ranking system came into play. Now they're working the whole ranking system into the storylines and that people don't pay much attention to the rankings. I've been complaining about that now for weeks. And tonight they worked it into a story on the show with Taz a little bit later on. But he said, you know, he thought it was very important. I'm glad they addressed this because this is another point that I made recently. Kenny Omega was well within his rights to say, look, my opponent in the opening round of this Eliminator tournament was replaced at the last minute. That was Joey Janela. I should have gotten a bye into the next round. When he went to the next round, same situation popped up, right? Where it was supposed to be Phoenix. Phoenix was kept out because they were worried about his health, so they put Pentagon in there. But Kenny Omega should have gotten a bye all the way to the finals. But they actually addressed that here, and they talked about the fact that, look, I don't want to be that guy. You know, I wanted to compete. I didn't want to just walk on into the finals. So it's nice that they at least had him address that on TV. Because if I were Kenny Omega, I'm taking my walk all the way to the finals. So he said, no, that's you know, not what I wanted to do. He says he's destined to win the Eliminator. He's destined to go on to become the next AEW champion. Omega was being very sarcastic, very full of himself. This is the way he's been on TV now for weeks. So he was no different here. Very snarky Omega on this show. Miro with his AEW singles debut. We've seen Miro in tag team competition. We've seen Miro in video game competition. We have not seen Miro in singles competition until tonight. And that is not an indication, I hope, of what Brandi Rhodes thought of Miro's debut against Trent. Miro against Trent of Best Friends. Chuck Taylor was out there. Kip Sabian was out there. So they had their boys in each of their corners. Chuck Taylor beat up Kip outside the ring, fought him to the back. Went to a break. They come back during the break. During the break, Penelope Ford confronted Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy was also outside. And she had OC distracted until John Silver of the Dark Order. He came out. He clobbered Orange Cassidy from behind. That was the big, or part of the big promotion for their match on the pay-per-view on Saturday. Because there really isn't much of a story here building this match up, other than Orange Cassidy is one of their popular stars. John Silver is also becoming very popular. But there really isn't a story there. It's just two guys they're putting together for a match. So he attacked Orange Cassidy from behind. By the way, that match has been shifted. It was going to be on the buy-in pre-show. It has been shifted to the main card. So, you know, once all the outside distractions were gone, all the interference, all the nonsense, these two guys had a good little match. I thought there was a tope out of the ring by Trent. And I will say, now Trent is not a big guy like Keith Lee, but after seeing Keith Lee almost kill himself on a dive the other night, I could go for a while without seeing the stupid dives. You know my thoughts on the dives. I do think they should be left to the smaller guys. I'm not saying outlaw them completely. But after what happened the other night, I don't need to be seeing dives for a while. That was very scary. Trent hit a tornado DDT, running knee for a near fall. And Trent, he went for a springboard move off the ropes. He slipped. They covered for it very, you know, he got up right away. And Miro kicked him in the face. I assume what was going to happen is he was going to springboard off the ropes. Miro was going to probably super kick him in the face. So he slipped, he fell. Shit happens. I'll tell you, those ropes, they get very sweaty. They are outdoors. They are in Florida. Weren't they complaining at one of the pay-per-views a few months ago, Double or Nothing, how humid it was? Or maybe it was All Out. That's right, it was All Out, how disgustingly humid it was. You never know with these things, right? But he recovered fine. Miro locked him in the accolade, which he now calls game over. Trent tapped out, so a win for Miro. And Orange Cassidy. So Miro and Kip were outside the ring. Kip has come back. He and Chuck Taylor came back. Now Chuck is down. Miro and Kip are outside. Miro takes the mic. He's talking about Trent and saying your mother basically didn't raise you right. As this is going on, Orange Cassidy climbs to the top rope, hits an orange drop, takes out the heels, and Miro, not very happy, had to be restrained by Kip Sabian. They went to the back. That could play a role. I expect it to play a role on Saturday. But when I run down the pay-per-view card in a little bit, we will get into that. Thank you, guys, everybody who is now joining us for joining the AEW Dynamite Party. We have one of these every week, every Wednesday night. We are live here on YouTube talking about AEW Dynamite. This just so happens to be a pay-per-view week, so it is a little more important, I'd say, than usual. This was the go-home show, right? This was always the final hard sell for the event. AEW, unlike WWE, you still have to pay the $50. I mean, maybe depending on where you are in the world, whether it's Fight TV, BR Live, you know, it's the old school, pay the $50 to order the pay-per-view, so you want to make sure the card is worth it. I said before, I think the card is pretty stacked. I think the card is pretty stacked for this weekend. Jim Ross had a sit-down interview earlier in the day with Hangman Page. Hangman Page was drunk. What else is new? He had a bourbon. He had a glass of bourbon. Probably not his first one of the day. Had that in his hand. And in his defense, I think a lot of people have done a lot of drinking this week, so I don't think he's the only one. Jim Ross said, that's probably not the first bourbon that you've had today. He goes, that tells me that you might be a little bit nervous about your match with Kenny coming up this weekend. And Hangman says, well, you know, I might be a little bit nervous. I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't win at Full Gear. And Jim Ross said, well, you know, good luck. And probably wanted to sign him up for an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, but that was the end of the segment. That brought out Taz. Taz came out with Brian Cage and Ricky Starks, neither of whom have a match on the pay-per-view this weekend. Taz was not happy about that. Taz was trying to get a word. He was trying to get a meeting all day long with Tony Khan. He said there was a production assistant who came over to him and said, Tony can't talk to you right now because you guys are not on the pay-per-view. So Taz said, fuck this. He comes out. He goes, well, if he's not going to talk to me in the back, I have a live mic. Now he's going to have to listen to what I have to say. Taz was not happy. Taz is never happy. I don't think I've ever seen Taz in a good mood. Rarely do you see Taz smile. His whole career, ECW, WWE, where else was he? TNA, AEW, the man never smiles. He's always in a foul mood. So he says, he points out the fact that Brian Cage, you know, he goes, I believe in this ranking system. AEW has a ranking system. I believe in this ranking system. Brian Cage is 10-1. And he said that Brian Cage is ranked number one, which I hadn't checked the rankings, so I checked. Brian Cage is, in fact, ranked number one in the men's world title rankings for the AEW Championship. So it's a valid point. He says, Ricky Starks, look at Ricky. Look at Ricky. Ricky Starks has won 10 out of his last 11 matches. Ricky Starks is not even ranked. He says he's not even listed in the rankings. He says, what kind of horse shit is this? And Ricky Starks took the mic. He says, it makes no sense that neither of them have a match at Full Gear. So Taz said, Cody, Mr. EVP, says you're running around with your fancy championship this Saturday at Full Gear. There's going to be an FTW presence. He guarantees it. Cody is wrestling on the show. He is defending the TNT title. So that could be a foreshadowing of... See, it was a foreshadowing of interference in the match. They don't necessarily need to interfere. It could just be, you know, there's Taz and his boys sitting in the crowd. And they just cut to them sitting in the audience. Maybe there is no interference in the match. Maybe they attack the winner when the match is over. Maybe they attack both guys and it's a draw. I mean, who knows, right? They can go in any number of directions with it. But they claim that they will be there. They claim that they will be on the show coming up on Saturday night. Tamara, thank you. I want to say thank you to everybody who is modding right now. CJ and Tamara, show them some love. They are doing the work of the Lord in the chat right now. Holding down the fort. Holding down the fort in the chat. Ryan says, personally, hope the Taz stuff leads to him recruiting a female client at Full Gear. Ideally, it would be Layla Hirsch. Well, I mean, it could. I mean, not at Full Gear. Layla Hirsch isn't even on the show. Could I see her being part of that faction? Sure. I think she's got a lot of potential, so why not? Level 20, can we get a countdown to when Pac is going to murder Kingston? Well, I think it could be the other way around. And Jacob Donnelly, one of the better go-home shows AEW has done, and a nice distraction, much like this podcast. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. That's very nice. Now, there was supposed to be a match tonight, Sean Spears and Scorpio Sky. They were supposed to have a match on Dynamite tonight. You may notice that match did not happen. AEW announced earlier today that through contact tracing, they learned that Scorpio Sky was exposed to somebody with COVID in the last 2 weeks. He has tested negative, but out of an abundance of caution, they decided to hold him off the show and postpone the match. And so in its place, I think we got the better end of it. In its place, we got a rematch from the week of October. What was it? October 9th. It was like week two last year, I think, of AEW Dynamite. Was a first round match in the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament. It was the Young Bucks against Private Party. Private Party won that match. I know, I remember that shocked a lot of people that the Bucks would be bounced so early in the tournament. That, though, was not their first match last year. Those two teams, I had the pleasure. I did. I had the pleasure, along with JD from New York, of calling the last, what was billed anyway, we'll see if it holds, but the last ever independent wrestling match of the Young Bucks. It was the main event of the House of Glory High Intensity 8 show. The Young Bucks against Private Party. Private Party, of course, homegrown talent in HOG. And we got to call that main event. That was a lot of fun. So, having seen these two teams work together, you know what these two teams are capable of. And I think we got the better end of it. No offense to Scorpio Sky or Sean Spears, but I think we got the better match. Sammy Guevara comes out and he attacks Matt Hardy from behind. Matt Hardy is out there. He's coming to the ring with Private Party, right? Because he's kind of mentoring the two of them. And so Sammy Guevara comes up from behind. He attacks Matt, drops him with an RKO on the ramp. He's pummeling him. He's beating the crap out of him. And then he runs off. And Matt had to be helped to the bat. And you know what? I watched this and I said to myself, I said, Sammy Guevara did nothing wrong. Matt Hardy is the one who interfered in Sammy's match at the beginning of the show. All Sammy did was he went, like he flipped them off. And Matt threw a fucking chair at this guy's head. So screw Matt Hardy. Sammy Guevara did nothing wrong. He came out here. He got his revenge. He was well within his rights to get his revenge. Story here in the match was Matt Jackson came in hurt. FTR had attacked his ankle a few weeks ago. So he had the injured ankle. And the story is that may not have been the smartest thing for the Bucks to agree to a match with Private Party a few days before their title match at the pay-per-view. It's very odd to me because for weeks, all right, even a couple of months, if you have been watching Dynamite, you have seen the Young Bucks acting very heelish. They've been kicking announcers in the face and maybe I know they kicked Tony Schiavone and Alex Marvez, and they may have kicked a referee or a cameraman. They've been acting like a couple of dicks on TV now for weeks and weeks and weeks, right? This is how they've been portrayed on TV. And now all of a sudden, Matt Jackson has an injury. He's got a boo-boo on his leg, and they are built, you know, it's almost like they're trying to get sympathy for these guys. All that stuff now is forgotten about. We're just supposed to forget about the fact that they were acting like a couple of emo teenagers for weeks. And now we're supposed to have sympathy for them going into the pay-per-view. It doesn't work. And it makes me wonder, what was the point if that was the plan all along, was to get to this point, then what was the point of even doing that in the first place? Because it didn't give them a harder edge. It just made them look like a couple of dicks. So I don't really understand what the point of any of that was. I just think that's stupid. Isaiah Cassidy hit a twisting dive out to the floor. And this is kind of funny. So he hits the dive. He gets up. Camera guy's right there. He looks in the camera. He blows a kiss, right? Mwah. Blows a kiss into the camera, and he slobbers all over the camera. I'm sure the camera guy was very happy about that. It looked like it rained in Daly's place. Gin and juice to Nick Jackson. Pinfall broken up, though, by Matt. Matt gets tossed out of the ring. Marquen goes for the shooting star press. Ends up landing on his feet. Eats a spear, though. I think it might have been from Nick Jackson. Meltzer driver attempt. Marquen, though, slips out. He and Matt trade a series of roll-ups for near falls back and forth. And in the end, the Bucks hit the BTE trigger to Marquen. That finished him off. There was never any doubt the Bucks were going to win, right? They're the ones challenging for the titles on Saturday. So no real drama there, but this was hell of a match. Not a classic, right? Not as memorable as the HOG match. I mean, if you weren't there for it, you missed a special one that night. So it wasn't a classic or anything, but this was more about the story of Matt's ankle heading into the pay-per-view. Some great action here, though. FTR came out. They attacked the Bucks from behind. Goodnight Express to Matt. Wheeler puts Matt's left ankle in the chair. Again, he climbs up to the middle rope. He is threatening to break Matt's ankle before the pay-per-view. He had to sit up there. He's taking his jacket off, right? He's trying to stall for time as much as possible. Because Adam Page, I guess, is late on the queue. He's waiting for Hangman to come out. Here comes Hangman Page. He's got a drink in his hand. I guess he had to go refill at the bar. Out comes Hangman. And Kenny Omega then follows. Kenny Omega's out, checking on the Bucks, right? They're all supposed to be friends here. This ended with a stare down between Omega and Hangman. I can say that I've enjoyed the build for Omega and Hangman. I really have not been feeling this buildup with the Bucks and FTR. I'm sure they're going to go in there on Saturday and they're going to have a very good match. They might even go in there and have an excellent match. I don't know that they can live up to all this hype on social media now for years, where for 5 years now, these two teams have been hyping up an eventual match. And that match is finally going to happen on Saturday. And it just doesn't feel, I don't know, it doesn't feel special to me. Now, the Bucks have a tall order if they want to go in there and have the best tag team match in AEW history, because they already had that match with Hangman and Omega in February. So if this match on Saturday can top the match from Revolution, then we're in for a hell of a match. But it's not really about the match. The build has just been very, very, very strange. Very strange, and it just doesn't make the match feel as big as it should. That's kind of how I feel about the whole thing. Jason Voorhees says Ricky Starks is a freaking star. Yes, Jason Voorhees, I agree. He definitely is a star. The H-Dubs from New Zealand says, hi, been listening for 10 years, listening to this and the election. Both great sports entertainment. Yeah. Hey, we might find out who the new president is while I'm live on the air. I'm not going to talk about it, but we might find out. Food Hive, Wardlow appreciation. I mentioned that earlier. We have a lot of Wardlow fans in here. And Jacob Donnelly, have you heard the rumors of Sting potentially making an appearance at Full Gear? Do you think it will happen? If so, would you like it to? We saw Sting tonight. What do you want Sting for? We already had Sting at the very end of the show tonight. He was sitting up in the rafters. I mean, is Darby Allin not AEW's version of Sting? He's got the face paint. He's all, you know, sad. He's quiet. He's sitting by himself up in the boondocks up there at Daly's place. I mean, they already have their own version of Sting. He's a little shorter. He's a little crazier in the head, but they don't need Sting. They don't need Sting. Unless Sting is... Here's the thing about Sting. Here's what happened here. There is absolutely no indication that there is anything to these rumors of Sting going to AEW. What happened is Sting, who I believe was already released or relieved of whatever other contract he may have had with WWE, obviously, like what happened with Brock Lesnar a few months ago, his merchandise deal with WWE expired. It lapsed. And so they pulled all of the Sting merch from WWE shop. And all of a sudden people thought, oh, well, that means that Sting must be a free man. He's a free agent. Maybe he'll be at the AEW pay-per-view on Saturday. I've seen nothing credible to indicate that there's been any discussions of this or anything. So if he's going to be there, then for me, it's going to be a hell of a surprise. But I think people are just letting their imagination get the best of them. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of back in 2011. This happened before. People have been burned before. And people don't, you know, wrestling fans don't learn their lesson the first time. So remember when WWE, and then we'll get back to this, but you remember when WWE started to air those vignettes of the shack in the woods, and there was this cloaked figure, we couldn't see his upper body, but we saw the jacket, and people said, oh my God, Sting, Sting is coming in, Sting is going to wrestle The Undertaker at WrestleMania, and I got wrapped up in the hype too. I remember talking about it on the podcast week after week, you know, is Sting coming in? The only difference is WWE apparently did have conversations with Sting at that time because they could see that the fans got all wrapped up in the hype, but that's all it was. It was all fan-driven. Fans let their imaginations get the best of them. And in the end, it wasn't Sting. It was The Undertaker, and everybody was all disappointed. And I think that's what's happening here. I think the fans are getting ahead of themselves. Sting, I do not expect Sting to be at Full Gear. Never say never, right? If he's not under contract, then anything's possible. But no, I think this is just a case of people getting their hopes up for no reason. I think it is wishful thinking. What would he even do? What would he even do? We had 57-year-old Billy Gunn in the main event of Dynamite tonight. Now, it looks like they're trying to get his son over, and maybe his son could be a player at some point on the roster. But do we really need Sting on AEW television? I mean, you know, for a one-off, I guess, special appearance. But what purpose would this serve? Sting does not need to be on Full Gear. AEW does not need Sting any more than they need Eric Bischoff or Billy Gunn or any of these other people. You know what AEW needs more of? This next segment. This was the best segment on the entire show. We got a very intense, just a fucking incredible face-to-face in the ring, previewing their main event at Full Gear with the AEW champion, Jon Moxley, and the challenger for the AEW title, Eddie Kingston. We were told that Tony Khan earlier in the day, and Tony Khan, by the way, got a whole bunch of name drops on the show tonight. We never really see Tony Khan on TV, which is good. They should keep it that way, but a lot of Tony Khan name drops. Tony Khan made it clear that if either one of these guys put a hand on the other, the match on Saturday would be off. There would be no main event. So they needed some excuse to get these guys in the ring together without them killing, you know, one another, and that was their way of doing that. Eddie Kingston, he always thrives in this kind of environment, right? So you knew Eddie Kingston was going to bring it. He was going to bring the heat, and that's what he did. He got right in Moxley's face. He said, I'm going to ruin you. I'm going to take your championship. And he says he's going to give the title to his grandmother. And he's going to tell her, this is why you don't have a daughter. This is why you don't have a grandchild. Because his life, it's all about this. His life for 18 years has been about wrestling. It has been about fighting for the championship. That is all he knows. It is the most important thing in the world to him. Becoming the champion, the AEW World Champion, it is the most important thing in the world. Jon Moxley says, my turn. He grabs the mic. And he says he never thought that Eddie would betray him because they used to be tight, right? They used to be thick as thieves. He never thought Eddie would be, you know, the one to betray him. He mentioned Eddie's mother, Ruthie. And of course, Eddie got all hot. Don't you mention my mother's name. He goes, oh, you know, your mom, Ruthie. And I even ate in her kitchen. I sat in her kitchen and we broke bread and we ate. And I know you. I know your family. He says, I was happy for you when you signed a contract. He goes, I'm the AEW champion and the best wrestler in the world. And on Saturday, he says Eddie Kingston is going to find out that after 18 years, you don't really deserve it. And then the money line of the promo came here. He says, and I feel bad for you, because what that means is that you made a promise to your mother that you can't keep. And Eddie Kingston looked like he was about to explode. Yes, Tomas in the chat corrected me when Eddie was talking about his grandmother. Why you don't have a daughter-in-law? Yeah, whatever the line was, it was fucking gold. I was so wrapped up in the promo, I didn't write it out word for word. But he made his point. He got his point across, as did Jon Moxley. I thought that was a great, it's a killer line at the end there. And Eddie is just ready to pop, but he can't. But then he flips out and he starts yelling at Moxley, you better get ready to kill me. You know, he's like, this is real. You better get ready to kill me. This is real. And then he storms off. Because he knew that if he stayed, he was going to lose his cool, and he would end up losing his title shot. So he went to the back. This was the perfect sell for this match. When this match was announced weeks ago, I said that this match is going to be sold on the promo work. Not so much the in-ring stuff. It was going to be sold in a segment just like this. You put a mic in their hands, especially Kingston, and these two guys will be able to sell people on this match. And that's what they did here. This was the best piece of business on this show tonight that they put together to promote any match on the pay-per-view coming up this weekend. And it's for the World Championship. It just so happened to be the main event, the biggest match on the show. I wouldn't change a thing about this. The only thing I would change is I would have ended the show with this. Given what they ended with, this is what I would have closed out the show with. That really would be my only critique, but this was just everything that you would hope for in a go-home promo between the two guys in your main event on the pay-per-view. Juan Ocampo with the Super Chat says, can I get a Cameron Grimes for my birthday with the hat? Well, there's no hat, but I just gave you the Cameron Grimes. Happy birthday. I wish Juan a happy birthday on Twitter as well. Oz and Glorious, shout out to Sting at Full Gear, you bastard. Food Hive and Brandy Rhodes, looking like $1 billion this evening. And Naif Alsafar with the $5. Good to hear from Naif. This also was very cool. Pac is back. We had a video package showing him sitting at home watching Dynamite alone on the couch in isolation. 7 months in quarantine has turned this guy into a madman. He was laughing. He has gone off the reservation. I think quarantine has driven a lot of us mad. He's not the only one. My view on this, if we're getting a pack video package, right? Pack package. For the first time in 7 months, that must mean he's coming back soon. I don't think they would put this on TV unless they had a sense that his return was imminent. And that is good news, because he has been missed. I was looking forward to seeing where the whole death triangle thing was going to go with him and the Lucha Bros. I guess the question is, you know, if he's going to be back soon, do they pick up with the death triangle stuff or not? Because the Lucha Bros now are part of the Eddie Kingston faction. But they announced that next week we're getting round two on Dynamite. It's going to be Penta against Phoenix. Now, why are they doing round two between Penta and Phoenix? The first time, right, was it a tournament, right? It was an eliminator match, I think. So why then are they running this match back and doing a round two? Maybe we're going to see Pac on TV next week. Maybe he is going to get involved. Maybe that's going to lead to something with Pac, as somebody else mentioned a little while ago. Maybe that leads to something with Pac and Eddie Kingston coming out of the pay-per-view. I don't know. But if we're going to get Pac on TV, that's a big addition to the roster that they've been missing now for a number of months. If they can get him back on TV, assuming he's able to travel. But then why else? Why air this if they didn't think he was going to be back soon? Nyla Rose. This was her warm-up for her AEW Women's title match with Hikaru Shida on Saturday. Had a match here with Red Velvet. Sheeta was in the front row watching. This was pretty much just total domination for Nyla Rose. She caught Red Velvet coming off the top rope. She was going for a Rana. She got caught. Beast Bomb, 1, 2, 3. Vicky Guerrero was out there, and she was yakking on the microphone. She cut a promo when the match was over. She said that Velvet was pathetic for coming out with Brandy. Brandy was there. Brandy, I guess, has sort of taken Red Velvet under her wing. And Vicky said that she had a new title for Brandy, the CBSO, the Chief Bullshit Officer of AEW. And then she cut a promo on Sheeta. Sheeta grabbed Vicky, and that brought over Nyla, who attacked Sheeta. Some very weak shots they were throwing around. And so that sets up the Women's Championship match coming up this weekend. The True Heel Master. I've become a huge John Silver fan on AEW. He has so much personality. I would love to see him more on BTE and Dynamite. Please push Silver. Well, look, I mean, he has a match on pay-per-view. He has a singles match on pay-per-view. It was going to be on the kickoff, and now it's on the main card. So they're pushing him. They're pushing him. I think you're going to get your wish. Rodimus Prime, thank you for the $15. That is awesome. Missed the show tonight, but I'm really looking forward to Full Gear on Saturday. And Food Hive wanted to give a shout-out to the great and powerful Oz Inglorious. I love when all the people in the chat are showing love for one another. Nothing wrong with that. Main event was Cody. Again, here coming up in a little bit, I'm going to be doing predictions for Full Gear. And then I'm going to get feedback from you guys. I'm going to bring you into the conversation as well. So we're just getting started here. The main event was Cody, Billy Gunn, and his son, Austin Gunn, against the Dark Order, Colt Cabana, John Silver. Hey, look, John Silver, there you go. John Silver in the main event on Dynamite. And Preston Vance, he is the one they call 10 in the Dark Order, Preston Vance. The Guns have been racking up wins on Dark. Apparently they're 9-0, I think, or something like that. This was their first time on Dynamite. Billy Gunn, I mentioned it before, Billy Gunn is 57 years old. And he looks incredible. I'll give him that, right? The tan and everything else. I mean, he looks, whatever he's doing, he looks great. That being said, I did not need to see Billy Gunn in the main event on my TV on the final Dynamite going into a pay-per-view that Billy Gunn isn't even on. Why was Billy Gunn in the main event on this show? Billy Gunn and the Dark Order. Think about who we had in the main event tonight. We had Billy Gunn, Preston Vance, Colt Cabana. Why was this in the main event? Why was Billy Gunn even wrestling on this show? This show of all weeks. The final match, the final segment leading into a pay-per-view. And Billy Gunn is wrestling in the main event. Billy Gunn in the Dark Order in the main event is no stars. Austin Gunn, and this is my only assumption from this, is the fact that they gave Billy's son the win is that they wanted to give him a prime spot. They've got plans for Austin Gunn because Austin Gunn hit the crossroads to Cabana. He took Colt out of the match. He hit the quick draw, which is his move, to Preston Vance to win the match. It's like, oh my goodness, you know, Austin Gunn gets his first win on Dynamite. Well, that's nice and all, but did it really need to come in the main event on this show? No, it didn't. Orange Cassidy comes back out. He hits the orange punch to John Silver, and Cody gets on the mic. Cody looks up, he sees Sting, or would-be Sting, Darby Allin, sitting up in the rafters. He says Darby is telling stories that TNT does not want him as the champion, they don't want him to be the face of the company. He goes, it's all lies. He says, not true. In fact, I'm the one who recruited you to AEW. I'm the one who put a word in for you with the other EVPs, and helped get you into this company in the first place. It says, you want to be the face of AEW? You want to be the TNT champion? Because you want to be the ace? You want the ace belt? He goes, here's the problem. It says, Darby, you're not the ace. We all know who the ace is, right? Can we all agree we all know who the ace is here? It's not Darby Allin. And it's not Cody. There's only one ace. That's Tanahashi. I maintain that they should have... And that was the end of the show. I maintain they should have ended the show with the Moxley-Kingston segment. That should have been the parting, closing image of this show. This should not have been the main event. Yeah, in their head they wanted a match in the main event. This should not have been the main event. I would have closed out with their best segment, their strongest segment, John Moxley, Eddie Kingston. That should have been the final one. But in any event, I was not a huge fan of the show tonight outside of a couple of segments. I thought it was pretty average, honestly. The hype, though, for the pay-per-view was good. I mean, that was their goal here. They had a whole bunch of video packages that were well done. I thought the Kenny Omega one with Hangman, that video package was well done. But it was all about getting Full Gear over. That's what tonight's show is all about. It was all about getting over Full Gear. I enjoyed the Bucks and Private Party. I enjoyed the Moxley and the Kingston face-off. And everything else was just kind of there. I felt like everything else was just kind of there. Nothing really bad. Nothing else really great. All roads lead to Saturday. I mentioned next week, Penta, Phoenix, one-on-one, the rematch. I'm here for it. That's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully nobody hurts themselves and gets killed, or nearly killed this time. AEW is running around 78% right now in the Twitter poll at Solomonster on Twitter. So you guys can go ahead and vote, as I encourage you to do every week. NXT holding its own, about 68% thumbs up, 31% thumbs down. And again, you guys can go ahead and vote right now on Twitter. Let's take some more of your super chat. We're going to get into Full Gear here in a second. But I want to get to more of your super chats. Magician Sapphire, Eddie Kingston has shown time and time again that he has been an excellent pickup for AEW. He really has been one of the great success stories of this whole pandemic era. You know, and it's just a great story to see him finally doing what he does on the national stage. The True Heel Master, would you ever be the moderator for an Eddie Kingston and Taz wrestling debate? Hey, if they want me, sure, why not? I think that'd be fun. Jackalope Music sent a $5 super chat, $5 footlong subway. By the way, I'm glad that Jackalope chimed in here. First of all, I have to thank Jackalope. Jackalope, back on the birthday stream about a month ago. He got me something very nice that I only got in the mail last week. A couple of bottles of bubbly, the Chris Jericho bubbly, which I have not cracked open yet. However, I'm planning on probably doing so next week, because next Wednesday we're going to do the usual Dynamite stream. That'll be the post pay-per-view stream. First Dynamite after the pay-per-view. Next Thursday, I'm going to be live on YouTube, back-to-back nights next week. I'm doing a Sound Off Inbox Anniversary Edition. I'm taking your questions, so you can email me, solomonster@gmail.com. I'm going to be pulling a whole bunch of questions. I'm going to be live answering them, plus super chats and all that. And because it's an anniversary stream, we're celebrating 13 years of the podcast. I might break open one of those bottles of bubbly next week. So I wanted to thank Jackalope for that. That was really cool of him to do that. Nayef, thank you for the 10. Boy, I don't think I'm going to be able to fit anybody else on this leaderboard. But I'm shouting everybody out here. Oz and Glorious, my fiance, asked me about all of these all of these super chat things to a Solomonster every Wednesday. So I told her that you are my therapist. Good. That's a good call. Some people do consider these shows therapy. I'm not board certified or anything like that, but some people do consider these podcasts therapy, right? Look at Boombox Brock. He seems pretty happy. So does Paul Heyman in that super chat. Spanish Goddess just turned 21. Holy shit. I did not know that. Happy birthday. Enigma 316. What's better, an AEW contract or a WWE main roster demotion? I mean, it depends on the person, right? I can't speak for what these wrestlers are looking for. WWE main roster demotion could still make you a lot of money. So if you're in it for the money, it could be WWE. Tomaz. Important to note that the pack video package had Eddie Kingston quotes over it asking, "Where's your British friend?" You know what? That's a good point. I did not mention that. Over the audio on the pack video package, there were sound bites from Eddie Kingston. As Tomaz was saying, he was asking, "Where's your British friend?" That's a very good point. I did not mention that. In fact, that coupled with the fact that they're doing Penta and Phoenix next week, if Pac is coming back, I mean, I assume he's able to travel, guarantee you that's where he's coming back. That's why they're doing the match. I'll bet you that's why they're doing the match next Wednesday. Also, I don't know how Mox versus Eddie can live up to that kind of build. They would actually have to maim one another. Well, if you saw Full Gear last year, Kenny Omega and Moxley pretty much tried to maim each other. So it could be that they have another, you know, hardcore type match. You know, I Quit matches, basically, they can do whatever they want, right? There's no rules. They can use weapons. They can bleed. Look, this is an Eddie Kingston World Championship main event on pay-per-view. It may be the only main event world title match this man ever has on pay-per-view. This man is going to bleed. Somebody is going to bleed. These guys are going to kill each other. And the true heel master, Cody, heavily said ace. Tanahashi to AEW confirmed. Hey, from your fingertips to whoever is listening, make it happen. Make it happen. I've been talking about this for a year and a half now. The AEW New Japan synergy. Bring them together. That's what I want to see. I want to see some New Japan bodies on Dynamite. And then they can get some AEW guys in return when it's safe to do so. Now is probably not the right time, travel-wise, but they got to make it happen. So Full Gear is this Saturday night. It does air at 8 p.m. The buy-in starts at 7:30 Eastern. A late edition with Orange Cassidy and John Silver being moved to the main card. They did make the announcement tonight. The buy-in will now feature an NWA Women's Championship match. Serena Deeb, a couple of weeks ago, beat Thunder Rosa to become the new NWA, Women's Champion. Serena Deeb is going to defend that title against the former NWA Women's Champion, making her AEW debut, Allison Kay, the former Sienna from Impact Wrestling. Allison Kay, 24 hours ago, Allison Kay made the announcement that she was gone from the NWA. She was officially a free agent. And 24 hours later, she's announced as appearing on the AEW show on Saturday. Just like that. That's how quickly these things can change. So I think that's pretty cool. I don't see Serena Deeb dropping the women's title so soon. I think that would be kind of dumb, actually. So I'm picking Serena Deeb for the win to retain her title. Orange Cassidy takes on John Silver of the Dark Order. Based on what happened tonight, I'm kind of thinking that Miro, who seemed pretty pissed off at Orange Cassidy there, at the end of that match he had tonight with Trent, I'm thinking that Miro is going to get involved here and probably cost Orange Cassidy the match. I think John Silver is going to get the win. I'm picking John Silver to win his first singles match on pay-per-view this Saturday. Matt Hardy takes on Sammy Guevara in an Elite Deletion match, cinematic style from the Hardy compound. Bad things happen when these two get together. It didn't look like anybody bled tonight, which I guess is good. It didn't look like anybody was maimed or, you know, anything like that. But usually when these two get together, bad things happen. Sammy is the young gun here. Matt Hardy is not. Definitely not. Not anymore. The last time they met at All Out, Hardy won. Now, that was a complete disaster. But they did finish the match, and Matt Hardy got the win. So, I don't see any reason for Sammy to lose again, other than the fact that it's a cinematic match from the Hardy compound, and therefore Matt Hardy should win. And look, if Matt Hardy does win, if he's doing the broken mat stuff or whatever, it's his home. It's all played up for, like, goofy comedy anyway. If Matt wins, it's not that big of a deal, really. I mean, Sammy will be fine, but I still think Sammy should get this win. So I'm going with Sammy Guevara to win the match. Hikaru Shida defends her AEW women's title against Nyla Rose, the Native Beast. I was thinking Nyla Rose gets the win, but now I'm changing my mind on that. I'm going with Shida. And the main reason I'm going with Shida is because I think that all roads here lead to Britt Baker getting a shot at the championship and at some point in the not-too-distant future becoming the new AEW Women's Champion. And since Britt Baker is a heel and Hikaru Shida is a babyface, Nyla Rose is a heel, I just think it's a more natural match to build to Baker against Shida. And I would much rather see Britt Baker carry the championship than Nyla Rose, who we've already seen carry the title. So I'm hoping and I'm predicting a Shida win. Save that win for Britt Baker. MJF. One-on-one with Chris Jericho. If MJF wins, he joins the inner circle. I've thought about MJF winning and then just telling Chris Jericho kind of, you know, fuck off and not joining the inner circle after all. But I think the better story is probably for him to join and then start the slow build to ousting Jericho from his own group. So, and you could drag this out for a few months. You know, you could even do Jericho and MJF as a team if you want them maybe to go after the tag team titles. I mean, Jericho and Jake Hager have really been pushed as a team. I think Jericho and MJF, more so than Jericho and Hager, is the more appealing team, temporary team. I think that would make a lot more sense. They could even take the titles from the Bucks if the Bucks win the belts. It could be a short-lived run. You know, Jericho and MJF can have a short run with the belts and drop them when the split happens within the inner circle. When that split really starts to take hold, you know, they drop the belts. And then you work your way to, again, Jericho being ousted from his own group. He welcomed, you know, he had to lose on Saturday in order for MJF to kind of be allowed to join. But here he is welcoming MJF into the family. And MJF is the one who leads to Jericho being excommunicated from the family. So that would be a longer story to play out. How does Wardlow factor into any of this? I don't know, but I'm going to pick MJF for the win. Cody. Cody defends the TNT title against... Not on TNT, by the way. He is defending the TNT championship, not on TNT, against Darby Allin. Darby Allin has yet to beat Cody. These men have had, three matches I think they've had early in the AEW run. They had a match, and it went to a draw. I think they had two more matches, at least one, if not two, and Cody won. Darby has yet to beat Cody. And at some point, he's going to have to, he should. I don't think it's going to be on Saturday, though. And what kind of tipped me in that direction was Taz teasing that he and Starks and Cage are going to be there on Saturday. I'm going with a Cody win. And I think he may even use nefarious means to get there, but I think Cody holds on to it. I think they could wait a little bit before they pull the trigger on Darby beating Cody. I just don't feel like it happens this weekend. So I'm picking Cody to win. The Young Bucks challenge FTR for the AEW tag team titles. If the Bucks lose, they can never again challenge for the belts. I don't like that stipulation being added. Number one, it's the same stipulation that they used with Cody a year ago at Full Gear when he lost to Jericho. That's number one. Number two, it really puts them up against the wall here. Now, maybe they have a plan for this. Maybe this is being done for a very particular reason. I just think it's unnecessary. This match didn't need that stipulation to be added to it. But because I don't think that they're going to do the same thing they did with Cody and have them lose too, because then they got to find their way out of it, I think the Bucks are going to win. I think the Young Bucks are going to win their first AEW tag team titles. Kenny Omega takes on Hangman Page in the World Title Eliminator Tournament Finals. Probably the match I am most looking forward to on this show. They've built this story up very well. This story has been built up now for a very long time. I think Kenny, you can go a whole bunch of different ways with this. You could have Hangman win, Kenny snaps. But because I think Kenny is going to be the next AEW champion, this is where he gets his shot. I do think he'll win. Now, he may have to cheat, or he may be pushed to the limit because it doesn't seem like he's taking Hangman very seriously. And why should he? I mean, Hangman walks around like he's some drunken fool on the street. I wouldn't take him seriously either. The guy was three sheets to the wind on TV tonight. He could barely stand up straight. But I think Kenny is going to pull it out. And I think Kenny is going to be the one. I think probably at the pay-per-view, if they can hold off that long, and maybe somebody else can challenge in the between now and then. Because as we've learned with the rankings, for example, even if you're a number one, that doesn't mean you're next in line for a title shot. But Kenny can win the shot and not get the match until Revolution. But I think he's the one to take that championship off of Moxley. It's not going to be Eddie Kingston. It's going to be Kenny Omega. And I think he wins the shot here. And then John Moxley defends the AEW World title against Eddie Kingston in an I Quit match. I think that these guys recognize that this is going to be their one shot to really just have pay-per-view main event real estate to themselves. They go back a long way. Eddie Kingston is a crazy man, and I think he probably realizes this may be his only shot. John Moxley probably wants to give Eddie Kingston the best possible match he can. So I expect a bloodbath here between these two. I'm not sure if it can live up to some of these promos that they've done, but I think they're going to try. But I don't think the finish here is just not in doubt. It's just not. Especially because it does look like maybe there is going to be something involving Kingston and Pac when Pac is back on TV. John Moxley wins. So John Moxley will retain in the main event. You look at it from top to bottom, I mean, it's a pretty stacked card. There's a lot of big matches on this show. Cody and Darby, which I've been waiting for months for them to get back to that match. Hangman Omega, the Bucks and FTR. God, they've been crowing about this freaking match now for 5 years on Twitter. I'll kind of be happy when it's over, frankly. Just so I don't have to hear about it anymore. And then Moxley and Kingston. It's a pretty stacked card. And hopefully you guys will join me live on YouTube Saturday night. As soon as the pay-per-view goes off the air, come back here. And we'll talk about everything that went down on the card that night. Every single thing that goes down, we will talk about it here on the stream. Spanish Goddess says, sorry, been drinking. I meant to say that either Tessa or EC3 or Sting will debut at Full Gear. Yeah, I don't see any of that. The thing with Tessa, I get questions still about Tessa Blanchard. What's going on with Tessa Blanchard? I don't know what's going on with Tessa Blanchard, but the fact that she has been a free agent now for months and the fact that WWE and AEW, the two big national promotions, neither of them have picked her up, speaks volumes. I think that speaks, and that doesn't mean she won't end up going there, but I think it speaks volumes that somebody who has the talent and the name, right, that she has, is sitting at home doing nothing. What does that tell you? Lines are open. You want to call 989-282-SOLO. We'll take a few calls. 407.
What's up, Solo Monster? It's Casey the Most. I know you see me in chat all the time.
Hey, Casey, what's going on?
I'm pretty good, man. I just figured I'd try to get a call in this time. I'm still in the hospital here, so I'm just trying to get better.
Well, what's going on?
I have walking pneumonia.
Oh, that's not good.
That's hit me. I've been out of work for 3 weeks now, just trying to get rid of this crap.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, I caught a glimpse of the show tonight. Honestly, it kind of feels like a two-match pay-per-view to me, honestly, because they really didn't do a good job of really building up the other matches. I mean, you got the FTR match in the Young Bucks. They built that up okay. But the Eddie Kingston match and the John Moxley match is the match I really want to see. And I don't know, whatever that garbage is that MJF and Jericho have been doing over the week, that did nothing for me. I know that's pretty much how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in agreement, though, as far as the main event is concerned. I mean, what is there? I don't know. I mean, is there any match that you are looking forward to the least? Would it be MJF and Jericho or women? I mean, are you not feeling what they're doing there?
Honestly, probably the least interesting match is the AEW Women's Championship match. I like Shida, but they did absolutely nothing to build that match up. And yeah. I'm like, I'm completely just not interested.
Well, I mean, Nyla and Vicky have not even been on TV. I mean, tonight was the first night they were even on Dynamite, I feel like, at least in a match in what feels like a few months. So I don't blame you for feeling that way. I don't think you're the only one.
It's just like they just kind of just, we need to get other matches on the card. So let's just throw this stuff together that, you know, that has no build. Like you said tonight with the whole Orange Cassidy thing, that was all they had to build that match was just getting Orange Cassidy getting attacked.
Yeah, it's not a very good build up for that match. I think they just wanted to get them a spot on the show. You know, John Silver is very popular, and maybe it's like their little reward to him. I don't know, but you know, what my fear is, I'll tell you what my fear is. If they go out and they have all these kick-ass matches, and that's great, but like the last show felt like it would never end. I mean, it was a long show, and so I understand they only do the pay-per-views every 4 months, and so they try to get a lot of shit in. I understand that. There really is no need for this show to go all the way, for example, to midnight. I'm kind of hoping that it doesn't go that late, but I don't know. The Bucks and FTR, Hangman and Omega, main event. You're probably looking at 25, 30 minutes for each of those matches.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they really should have only had at least. What happened to the days where you could have, like, a 4 or 5 match show? They really don't need all of these other matches. Just do the main ones that they built up to. Do the championship match with Moxley and Kingston. Do the tag team match. And then you do the Kenny Omega match and Hangman Page. And then do one women's championship match. I don't even think the AEW championship match needs to even be on the show. Like, they put them on the pre-show. I think that they did a better job of promoting NWA's Women's Championship than they did their own.
Yeah. Usually that is the case. I made that comment last week. I said that's the one thing I love featuring the NWA title, but their women's title feels more important than the AEW women's title on an AEW show. So you got to be careful with that. Yeah, so you and I are in agreement on that.
And it looks like they got a play out of the TNA playbook. Remember how they promoted ECW better than their own stuff?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I remember. Don't remind me. Don't remind me.
Yeah, I'm not going to keep you, man. I just wanted to try to get through because it's like hell trying to get through these calls, man.
Yeah.
I ended up calling like 96 times the last time. Couldn't even get through.
Yeah, it could be tough because there's only so many lines that are open. So, you know, people like to call in. But listen, I'm glad you got through. It sucks that you're going through that. I hope that you're in the back end of it and not in the thick of it. Hopefully you'll be back home soon because that doesn't sound like it's a lot of fun.
No, it's not, man. It's pretty much going through hell. Pretty much like watching Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, well. Feel better, man. Keep me posted on how you're doing, though, on Twitter, and just let me know how you're doing, okay?
Thanks, man. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Yeah, I didn't know KC was going through that walking pneumonia. I've heard stories about people that have had that, and it's not a fun experience, so I hope he's on the mend very soon. Right now, I want to take a call from Chicago. I think it's Chicago, 773.
What's going on? First time caller, long time listener. Love your show, man.
Thank you.
I can't help but sympathize with your last caller. I mean, having to choose between walking pneumonia and Raw, it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, it's like choosing between walking pneumonia and The Walking Dead. That's kind of, I've made that comparison to Raw before, right? A show once in its glory. I mean, The Walking Dead at its peak got like 18 or 20 million viewers a week, and now it don't get that no more. So it's kind of like Raw, but what
1.2 at best, probably.
Well, a little bit better, give it a few months. It might get down to that point. But what did you think of the show tonight? What do you think about Full Gear? Any AEW thoughts?
Honestly, I thought it was great. By the way, I'm also Enigma 316.
Oh, Enigma. Okay. Well, you didn't tell me that. I like how you just sprung that on me.
My fault.
No.
First time, I'm kind of nervous.
Thank you for the support.
I mean, honestly, it was a great show. I sprung those questions on you because I've been a WWE fan for the longest, and I've been a Latch fan. And honestly, I only got back into wrestling because of you and JD, honestly, as your guys' podcast kind of went throughout the years. And honestly, I stuck with you because I thought you were a more balanced commentator, if anything. So what I have to ask you is, regardless of what happens, as wrestling goes on, what do you think that after the COVID era, where do you see all the battle lines being drawn between all the companies? Like, what do you think will happen after all this?
As far as the companies go, I don't know that anything is going to be too different. I mean, we might be able to get some kind of partnership between New Japan and AEW, and that I think has as much to do with the management change, you know, with Harold Mage being gone. But I think that's also going to hinge on travel restrictions. So that's something I'm hoping for when the COVID stuff eventually dies down. But WWE and AEW... With WWE and AEW, I don't see there being anything different in terms of the battle lines. I mean, they're still going to be competing for the same pool of talent. I think they're just hoping, God, we got to get back in front of crowds again. And my expectation is that ratings will rise a little bit. Probably not too much, because Raw, most weeks it still sucks, so... You've got to change the quality of the show. It doesn't matter if there's people in the crowd or not. But I think that they're waiting for crowds to come back and hoping that the audience will rise and people will, flock back to the shows, and it'll make the shows a little more fun, a little more exciting. I don't know that I really see any other radical changes other than WWE, which they were already starting to do, scaling back a lot on their live event business. I don't think that old house show schedule, that crazy live event schedule, I don't think that's going to be that way anymore. I think that might be the biggest change coming out of this era. Fewer live events.
What about the rumored partnership between AEW and New Japan? What do you think about that?
Well, it's all it is right now is a rumor. But, I just said, I hope it actually happens. I see it as more of a talent exchange if it happens. You send some New Japan players to appear on Dynamite and do a few programs with some of the AEW stars, and then they can send their own talent over to Japan when it doesn't interfere with their own schedule. They can partake in, they have so many tournaments. I mean, not just the G1, right? They have the best of the Super Juniors and the World Tag League, and they have all these different events, Wrestle Kingdom. Don't forget, there used to be a Ring of Honor World title match on Wrestle Kingdom.
Oh yeah,
because that was always the working relationship there. Who's to say that one day we don't have an AEW title match or an AEW TNT title match on a Wrestle Kingdom show? I would like to see them work together. Is it going to happen?
Definitely.
I think it will. I do. I think it's going to happen. I can't tell you when. I just don't know when.
That's true. Well, thank you for answering my questions. All I got to say is my mother's birthday is on Full Gear weekend, so it's actually pretty awesome that I get to get my question answered on a random tangent before I go to bed for work. But thank you so much. I've been listening for a long time, and thank you for taking my question, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You too. Have a good night. I appreciate the super chats, and hopefully you will join me next Thursday, November 12. I don't have a time set yet. I'm thinking 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Eastern, sometime around then. It's going to be the Sound Off Inbox Q&A stream, answering your questions, your email questions, your super chat questions. We're going to have a whole big party. We're celebrating 13 years, all month long, 13 years of the Sound Off. And I don't know if Enigma has been listening for the full 13 years, but sounds like he's been listening for a long time. So hopefully he will be able to to join in all of the fun. The True Heel Master just dropped $6 before. In Super Chat, imagine a finger poke of doom 2.0 moment with MJF against Y2J and every single match card on Full Gear being anticlimactic. I would lose. Well, way to be a pessimist there. You got to have some faith. Most AEW pay-per-view shows are actually very good. All Out was definitely not my favorite show. 646.
Hey, Thomas. There is JC Zephyr. What's up, man?
Hey, JC. What's going on?
Oh, not much, man. Just I just took some time away from the chats and the live streams every Wednesday. I was dealing with my own personal issues, and thankfully it's pretty resolved right now. And I'm just in better spirits now, and just wanted to say hi. And I just enjoyed AEW tonight. I really enjoyed a solid go home show to Full Gear, which I'm really looking forward to. You know, really stacked card, and you know the promos between Kingston and Moxley, and even Cody's promo was pretty damn good. So I have no complaints there. And of course, the interviews with Kenny and Hangman, and you know, even Pac making his first appearance in how many months? 7 months?
7 months. 7 months.
7 months. Yeah. Wow. Lucky number 7. I do wanted to ask you a question. Kind of seemed worthy for like your inbox show next week, but I was going to ask this on the Wednesday edition before Halloween, but I just didn't have any, I don't think your phone stuff was up. So I wanted to ask you this question, and I guess you could say late spirit of Halloween. What if you had a G1 climax, but with all of the horror movie icons, you have an A block and B block. Who would you have in your A block? Who would you have in your B block?
Oh, boy.
And who would you have square off in your A block and B block, and who would you have win?
I don't know if I could fill up two blocks right now off the top of my head. I mean, I would have, in terms of like horror, like the horror movie icons, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I have to go with my namesake, right? Jason. Jason would have to be in there. Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Freddy. Even though I'm not really a Nightmare on Elm Street guy, but obviously Freddy would be in there. I would say the Candyman. I would say Ghostface. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Who else belongs in there? I was gonna say Leprechaun. We'll
Pinhead.
Leave him. Not really a fan of Pinhead, but I guess you know who I'd put in there? Chucky. Put Chucky in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely him.
And
Definitely him.
I'm trying to think, who am I Jigsaw. Missing? Who am I missing? Like that really belongs in the conversation.
Hmm.
Am I missing anyone?
I mean, you can throw in some
Leatherface.
I did say Jigsaw.
Jigsaw.
Leatherface is
yeah.
one.
Jigsaw and Leatherface. Yeah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah, even some of the monsters too. If you want to throw in like the Xenomorph, or even dare I even say, I don't know if you heard of the movie of Pumpkinhead. You know, with the guy from Phantasm. Those guys.
You're way over my head now. Nat, you're in a whole other. This is like a foreign language that you're talking to me now. So.
Well, I guess when you watch a lot of horror movies or growing up with these things, you kind of get far out there with these things.
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand what you're saying. So I just wanted a curiosity, you know, because I know you're a big horror movie fan and stuff, and I just wanted to just ask that kind of question. I was like, I was wondering if that was, what would happen if you did that?
Yeah.
So just fantasy book, I guess you could say.
Yeah, those are the names that I would have on my list.
But thanks for taking my call. It's good to hear from you, and hope everything's well with you. Even though you said earlier in your previous call that your day sucked, which got me laughing.
Well, I was just, yeah, I just wanted to give him a different answer than the usual, you know, the usual boring, oh, it was fine.
Good.
Yeah, it was fine. You know,
it's fine. Yeah. Sorry, when you talk to someone, your DM, you're like, oh, it's fine. It just ends up going nowhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just want to say hi to the chat. Hope everyone's well with them. And I know this whole temperature's dropping. And hope to talk to you soon. And I look forward to your inbox show next Thursday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too. So again, that's November 12th. That's next Thursday night. I figure Thursday's a good night. Doesn't really interfere with any wrestling shows or anything else that may be going on. And it's been almost a year since I've done one of these YouTube inboxes. This will be the first live one I do. So yeah, should be a good time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did. I did three of them at the very end of last year, and that was the last time I did them. So we're bringing it back, and I figured the 13-year anniversary will kind of tie it into that, right? 13 questions for 13 years, even though I'm sure I'll take more than 13 questions, but it should be fun. So yeah, definitely, I will look for you. I will look for you on the stream if you happen to be in the chat that night.
I definitely will be there.
Awesome.
Definitely.
All right, well, take care. I'm glad you're doing better, and I will see you next week.
Thank you. All right, man. Take care, man.
All right, you too. That was JC Zephyr, one of our good friends from the live chat. Got to shout out my supporters like the True Heel Master for dropping $5.50 on the stream. Thank goodness Thunder Rosa made it clear she's not going to WWE after what's going on with WWE Superstars Twitch and Cameo accounts being ceased. Now, did she say that? I haven't heard Thunder Rosa make any comments specifically about the Twitch and Cameo stuff. Somebody else made a comment like that to me. I mean, did she just post something that I didn't see, or is that just people assuming that is the reason why? Because she can't sign with them anyway. I mean, Billy Corgan made it very clear she's under an NWA contract through 2021. So even if she wanted to, she's not going anywhere. But let me know if that's something that she's actually said. I'd like to bring that up if that's the case, because I haven't seen her mention that. I have not seen her say anything about that. 631.
Yo, Solid Monster, how's it going? I really liked the show tonight. I thought it was a strong go-home show. I thought it was better than the one for All Out. I think people are sleeping on this John Silver and Orange Cassidy match. I don't know, something about it feels like this is going to kind of be a show stealer type of deal with that match. Because I think we haven't seen the full strength of John Silver yet. And even if you watch Being the Elite, the guy's gold, in my opinion. So I'm very excited for that. I just met him and Reynolds just 2 weeks ago, too. So I'm going to be extra rooting for him.
Where did you meet them?
But there's a comic book, like, toy wrestling figure store in Medford, Long Island.
Got it.
So they had a nice little meet and greet. I just have two quick questions. With Pac coming back probably very soon, do you think because I assume he's probably going to enter a feud with Eddie Kingston. So I think what's going to happen is that if Pac comes back, they could, I don't know if this might be too early, but Eddie Kingston can lose Phoenix and Penta to Pac, and then they'd reform Death Triangle, and they'd feud with Eddie and the Butcher and the Blade, I guess. I mean, this is why I kind of wanted to have, like, six-man titles in this company, but I mean, I could see that kind of happening. Do you think it's too early for Phoenix and Penta to split away from Eddie?
Yeah, I think it is. And also, Eddie is constantly on TV talking about Penta. Oh, he's my best friend. You're my best friend. So I don't know that they would just split away. It's probably too early. I could see, you know what I would do? Because it is a TV show and you want to milk this for all you can. If Pac is going to come back, let's say next week, right? We have this match with Penta and Phoenix, and maybe Pac does come back. He's able to come to the States. You know, he wants to reform Death Triangle, and that's where kind of Eddie gets involved and says, hey, wait a minute. You've been gone for 7 months. This is my best friend. And they take their time. I don't think it's a case where the Lucha Bros would just drop Eddie on the spot and go with Pac, because that would be stupid. So, yeah, I like that idea. Milk it for a while, and then if they do split away, you could feud 3-on-3. I could see that. And I am not against the idea of having six-man titles. I mean, I think I've said that before. I think trios belts in AEW would actually work because they have so many groups. They have so many trios. it reminds me of Lucha Underground. And in Lucha Underground, they had trios titles. So I wouldn't mind seeing them in AEW.
Yeah, I'd actually like to see them because I think they would, because they have a lot of established three-man groups. I mean, even New Japan has the never six-man titles, but they're usually just mosh posses of guys in certain factions. So I think it would work better in AEW, my opinion. But yeah. The last question I have is kind of a little off topic, but I don't think I heard your opinion on this yet, but how do you feel about the Will Ospreay heel turn and the new faction that was born in New Japan?
I watched the match. I thought it was well done, and I think it's a role that he'll probably thrive in, right? He's got B with him, right? B Priestley.
I think it could be
interesting to follow, but yeah, I thought it was well done. I mean, I didn't necessarily think it was as good as, remember last year, the angle where Shibata came in and with Kenta, and all, that was great. I mean, what they did with those guys.
Yeah.
But I thought it was well done, and I think this group could work with them. So you just got to let it play out. Just happen, right? So we'll see how it plays out.
Yep. But thanks for taking my call, Salamonster. Hope you can't wait to see the full gear stream. I do think it's going to have a good bounce back from AEW All Out.
I hope so.
And very excited for it. But thanks anyway, and have a good night.
You too. Yeah, again, the card is stacked. So it would take some kind of massive failure, I would think, for them to have a bad show. I just don't look at that card and think that there's any way it's going to be a bad show. But sometimes, you know, on the scale of good to great, it varies. That's why I'm a little worried about the length of the show. Maybe I'm just becoming an old fart, but the longer the show, the more it hurts the show, no matter how good the matches are. I don't want to be sitting here for 4.5 hours or 5 hours watching the show from start to finish. But if they can manage their time well, while still giving everybody time to go out there and have, you know, the kind of match they want to have, I mean, it could be a kick-ass show. Daniel Carr, do you think WWE will ever do an Australian pay-per-view again? I was there and had the time of my life. Yeah, I think they will. They've done a few of them. I can't say when, but do I think they'll run a big event from Australia again? Yeah. I think in the next few years they will. COVID's delaying a lot of things in terms of big stadium shows. So maybe it might take a few years, but yes, I do believe they will. Join me on the Dynamite stream coming. It's not Dynamite, it's AEW Full Gear. As soon as the pay-per-view goes off the air, Saturday night, I will be live with you recapping the entire event. And then I'm going to be back with you again the next morning. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of different topics on episode 677, brand new This Week in History segment, all the top stories of the week, Tucky, we'll be talking about him, looking like something out of an episode of Wrestling Challenge from 1991. What have they done to Tucker? We'll talk about that. And then next week, Dynamite stream Wednesday night, Thursday night, Sound Off Inbox. Anniversary edition, answering your questions live. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have a little bit of the bubbly. We're going to have a good time. So we got a lot of content coming up over the next 7 days or so. And hopefully you guys will all be here to join me for all of the fun. I love each and every one of you. So until then, be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great night. Tamara, CJ, thank you for your help in the chat. And I will see you guys again for more Sound Off this weekend. I'll see you there. Take care, guys.